The actual full moon time is at 9:13 tonight, Mountain Standard Time, which is Arizona time. At the last centennial conclave of Wasak 1925, after millions of years since the Atlantean period, the Great White Brotherhood of Light, the greater ashram of Lord Maitreya, shifted its focus. The entire hierarchy shifted its location from the higher mental levels to the Buddhic plane, thereby making direct and unimpeded etheric reception possible. This is one of the significances of the words which we read in the New Testament, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, a symbolic way of expressing the unveiling of the unimpeded channel. This was made possible by the Christ as the avatar, working in cooperation with the Master Jesus, and also by the point of evolution reached by humanity at that time. Almost one century has elapsed since that momentous event in 1925, between the two world wars, when many disciples entered the portal of initiation. A similar period now approaches in 2025, and all members of the various ashrams are being tested and examined in their fitness for broader service. 2025 is also a time of great culmination for another cycle that began in 1965. In the time of the Buddha and through the stimulation he produced, there was a great gathering of arhats. These were men and women who had achieved liberation through a self-initiated effort. This period in our Aryan race marked a climax for the East. Since then, the tide of spiritual life has steadily flowed westward, and we may now look for a corresponding culmination in the West, which will reach its zenith between the years 1965 and 2025. Towards this end, the adepts of the East and of the West are unitedly working, for they follow always the law. The initiate faces two major tests, symbolically described as the burning ground and the cold, clear light. Only after the initiate has successfully passed these tests can the person or the group, when considering group initiation, move forward into the wider reaches of divine consciousness. These tests are applied when the transpersonal self grips the personality and the fire of divine love destroys the loves and desires of the integrated personality. Two factors tend to bring this about: the slow moving forward of the innate conscience into greater control, and the steady development of the fiery aspiration to which Patanjali makes reference. These two factors, when brought into living activity, bring the disciple into the center of the burning ground, which separates the angel of the presence from the dweller on the threshold. The burning ground is found upon the threshold of every new advance until the third initiation has been taken. Whatever stage of spiritual unfoldment or initiation one has reached, group initiation affords an opportunity for those who are not quite ready to take initiation to participate in the initiation process through being a part of a group whose members are at various stages of development. Those few who may have reached a more advanced stage have the capacity to hold the group tension enough that enables others to pass through the portal. Now, if you can imagine that image and knowing the painting of the Madonna Laboris by Nicholas Rourke, maybe in an abstract way, but this is what Nicholas Rourke said when he painted the Madonna Laboris. He wrote that Peter was disturbed. This is so beautiful. I just so much love this. And it gives me hope for all of us for initiation. Peter was disturbed and said to the Lord God, "All day I watch the gates of paradise. I do not let anyone in. Yet in the morning are newcomers in paradise." And the Lord said, "Let us make the rounds at night, Peter." So they went in the night, and they saw the Holy Virgin lowering along the wall her snow-white scarf, up which souls were climbing. Peter took this to heart and wanted to interfere. But the Lord whispered, "Shh. Let it be." Between now and 2025, all disciples will walk the burning ground of initiation toward the clear, cold light, taking advantage of hierarchy's direct and unimpeded etheric reception. The burning ground requires the relinquishment of all that the person might hold dear. Undue focus upon the physical body and its ailments, petty desires and old habit patterns or addictions, precious ideas and even spiritual concepts, all must be consigned to the fire. The fire that accompanies the new conditions offered to our planet will rejuvenate, purify, reconstruct everything. The matter will be refined. Our hearts will be liberated from anguish, troubles, incertitude, and we will become luminous. Everything will be improved, elevated. The thoughts, sentiments, and negative acts will be consumed and destroyed. And in this immediate cycle of WSOC 2022, we strengthen our resolve to commit to the flames that purify and purge, freeing the inner flame of the soul to illuminate all. It is a special blessing to be together again for WSOC, the celebration of Taurus. If only three people come together in the name of the Great One, that will be enough to create lots of energy, lots of light, and lots of fire world communication. Every time three or four people come together, they create a magnetic pool, a great magnet. And especially now that we are at the midway point of the three great full moons. Last month, we experienced the initiating power of the solar festival of Aries. Today, we are receiving the brilliance, the powerful rays of Taurus. And next month, we will be going to Gemini. The three major solar festivals of this year. These festivals are not to be ignored, for they are the whole of humanity. and most especially important, those on the planet who are awakened. It is a time to recharge and review and prepare ourselves to be of greater service to the Most High in the plan. You know, a couple of days ago, I read a comment on Facebook where a person had a sense that the planet Earth is alone. It's independent. And I was so shocked because the planet is part of the entire solar system. And what solidified this reminder was, I think by now most of us have seen this beautiful picture of the massive dark hole that's been found in the Milky Way galaxy, which we're calling the Ring of Fire. What you may not know is that the location of this Ring of Fire, the black hole, is at 26 degrees Sag, the opposite sign of Gemini. To me, it means that a special connection is taking place now that will affect the entire planet, especially if you have 26 degrees somewhere, anywhere in your chart. Look and see if you do have 26 degrees. This creates a link between yourself and the higher worlds. Enlightenment, illumination. You're going to feel it, maybe not concretely, but abstractly. You're going to feel it. And it will help you recognize one of the seven signs of Waysak is freedom. The freedom to move out into the universe and the recognition this planet is not alone. It is not independent from the whole. So during this time, seven energies are flooding our planet. First, the energy comes from the solar system. Then from the solar logos, these seven energies are coming to our planetary logos. And from there to our hierarchy, and then to great initiates and disciples. From these great initiates and disciples, the seven energies are going to spread throughout the entire world according to their degrees and communications and relationships. That is why the hierarchy and ashrams are not formed by one great master or one great disciple or initiate. They are formed in various degrees. For example, in the hierarchy, you have the sixth degree and fifth degree initiates. The fifth degree initiates are very close to communication with the fourth, the third, the second, and the first. Also, we're going from the more higher the frequency to a little bit more dense, a little bit more dense, and so forth. Also in the ashrams, you have from the first degree to the fourth degree initiates. Ashrams that are specially made like that so that when any truth is given in any ashram, it will be translated and interpreted at various levels, so that the group can reach as many levels as possible. For example, a great disciple cannot be very effective in an industrial factory. But if the factory man or woman is in the ashram, then they will receive and touch the truth. Then some part of that truth, according to what the factory person was able to absorb, is brought back. That is why membership in your group may also be on various levels. Some of you may be a little advanced, some of you a little behind, or others of you just trying to move forward. But the various degrees are very good. We are in different scales, and each of us understands according to our own advancement, progress, and initiation. You can absorb energy according to what you are, and you can spread the energy according to how much you have assimilated. If you are taking 200 pounds of energy but assimilating only 5% of it, then you can only express 5% of the 200. The rest of that energy, which is not accumulated, remains in the higher realms. In the Waysak Festival, and in many advanced full moons, important full moons, lots of disciples make contact with their transpersonal self, with the spiritual triad or higher energy, because the Anacharana or bridge is not yet built, they cannot assimilate it. Assimilation means conscious utilization of the contacts of the energy. For example, if lots of energy is surrounding you, but if you are not able to consciously translate and utilize and put it into practical activity on three levels, then you are not assimilating it. That is what happens sometimes. Disciples receive very high-grade energy into their higher bodies. Let us say into their atomic bodies, but the monadic and the intuitional bodies, but they do not sense it. So you're receiving it, but you're not sensing it because there's no bridging connection yet. The energy comes there and is mechanically distributed, but you're not yet able to get it. It reminds me in a way of all the translations that we're doing now of the Russian writings of Helena Rourke. And we have a team meeting on Saturday mornings, every Saturday for 3 hours. And they look at a word and they're trying to insert the right word that makes sense to an English-speaking person, but the Russian-speaking person may not be in agreement with it. Are they assimilating the energy of that word, or are they in their concrete mind? This is why we're told with translation, be intuitive, go with the flow. If we stick in the black and white realm of the concrete mind, you can, even though it looks like it's the perfect word to go into that sentence, intuitively it may not be. Interesting. The energy comes and is mechanically distributed, but the disciple is not able yet to get it. Sometimes it happens that the energy stays there for a while and the higher mind becomes a little sensitive. And of course, now we're talking about the full moon energies of Waysak, of which started on the 12th. 7 days from the 12th, what is that, to the 18th? So we're receiving these energies and we want to create an environment in our life where we can at least momentarily, you know, touch this holy sacred energy. It starts to be fiery and then makes a communication, telepathic communication. Once a little communication and a relationship established, now the energy of the higher mind begins to flow into the etheric brain, which will connect with those higher realms of energy, the higher mind, atmic, monadic, and flow down. So the higher light, the higher energy, the higher mind starts to flow down and spread little by little until your etheric brain and your physical brain register it. When you are registering in your awakening consciousness, the energies that are surrounding you on higher levels, it means now you are assimilating them. Assimilation is a very important subject in our life. Just as food assimilation and digestion are important, so is energy, digestion. To digest these energies, first of all, you must have a sensitive, organized organ. You must be as sensitive as, for example, your ear or your eye. If you cannot register the light, you do not have the eye. So this is true also for higher energies. Higher energies cannot be absorbed, cannot be assimilated, cannot be registered, we are told, if we are not building the higher self. And to build our higher senses and assimilate these energies, the most important thing to enable this assimilation is retreat. Meditation is a retreat. Taking an hour out in nature is a time of retreat. Getting away from the noise of the planet. Sometimes we think that retreats are conventional things, but retreats are nothing else but opportunities to focus our emotional and mental and spiritual energies on a specific goal for which we are gathered together. So like today, our focus is on Waysak energies and hoping that as we go through these tests between now and or between 1965 and the year 2025, that we will be sensitive enough to hear and to register and to assimilate the next step in the plan of or purpose of our soul life. So that's what we're focusing on today, especially the day of contact, but the 7 days that are surrounding the day of today, days of today. Or if you live in Australia, tomorrow. If the specific focus of each person in the retreat is synthesized or focused together in a higher plane, in a higher vision, then that vision creates a magnet that does what? A magnet draws energy. That is why Christ said, if three of you are together in my name, whatever you ask, you will receive. Now, what is happening is that the three are creating a focus, which means an etheric, mental, or spiritual center, a magnetic center. It is a magnetic center because your higher vision, higher striving, highest dreams, and inspirations are focusing themselves into a vision, into a picture, into a thought form. See? And that thought form, because of the law of resonance, is attracting similar energies and higher energies. The law of magnetic attraction. Visions are always very attracting energies because they do not belong to the present or to the past, but to the eternal future. Visions are ever growing. because of the nature of ever-growingness, they are open channels that attract energy. Now, the first of the seven energies flooding these three solar festivals, the first energy is the energy of freedom, which I've already mentioned in regard to the black hole, the Milky Way, 27 degrees Sagittarius, 26, 27, 28 degrees Sagittarius, freedom, the energy of freedom, the energy of enlightenment, the energy of will, the energy of love, the seventh ray energy, the energy of the greater zodiacal sign into which we are passing, Aquarius, right? We have the 25,000 year Aquarius, and it now is aligned with the 250,000 year Aquarius. So this, we're in a really, really intense, all of humanity is, period of time. And the energy of the White Lodge. So the first energy, freedom, is coming from the constellation that we call Sirius. Sirius is one of the stars of that constellation, Canis Major, but because it is the sun of that constellation, Sirius belongs to Canis Major, the dog star. Look what happens. A very cosmic thing is going to happen. Sirius is the eye of the Canis Major constellation. It is the brightest star in that constellation from which is coming the will energy. Freedom is an energy that releases the spark within every form. We call that in our language freedom. It is not the same freedom that we know politically and in our relationships, but the cause of every freedom that we know is that energy that we call freedom. Very powerful to think about freedom, what it is, what it is not. Now, the second energy is coming from Taurus, especially during now, you know, this cycle of Taurus. From Taurus comes the energy of enlightenment. So it is an energy that reveals. Great initiates use this period for great adventure. For example, in the Taurus full moon, these great initiates work for revelation. Great seventh degree, sixth degree, fifth degree initiates. They think about what is beyond that revelation. Most of us get stuck, right, in the revelation, the aha moment. They go beyond the revelation because the energy of enlightenment is there within the illuminating revelation, opening and unfolding and showing hidden things, blueprints that are like magnetic sparks, like etheric blueprints in space. At that time, these great ones are able to see a part of the cosmic mystery, a little part of it. Under the energy of freedom, initiates are doing something, just like those of lesser degrees. If we have a certain amount of freedom, we can strive to advance that freedom. For example, initiations are nothing but greater steps into greater freedom. Great steps into greater freedom. Actually, most of the initiations of consciousness are taken during Vaisakh because the opportunity for expansions of consciousness. Great plants, great seeds, great communications, and great freedoms come at Vaisakh. During the 7 days of Vaisakh, and especially today, WSOC Day. It gives a chance not only for masters, but also for us to use that opportunity. The third energy is coming, which is the will. The will energy comes from the Great Bear and is passing from the Great Bear to the Pleiades. So I'm so fascinated by the person that said this planet is now independent and alone. I don't know what that person really meant by that, you know, so I can only perhaps understand it literally. But when we think about what's just been publicized to the world about the Milky Way, and then we think about the will energy coming from the Great Bear, going through the Pleiades, and how it is affecting all of humanity, we are not alone. We can see a balance here. So the great fiery energy is becoming modified, and then it is passing through the head center of the sun, the solar logos, and entering into Sanat Kumara, focusing itself in Shambhala. During Vaisak, Buddha is linking Shambhala to the hierarchy, and Christ is linking the hierarchy to humanity. So humanity gets it. We are bridging, building the Antikorana. Christ is the first part of the Antikorana. Buddha is the second part of the Antikorana. The fourth energy is the love energy. Again, when we say love energy, we mean an energy that is coming from the heart of the sun. Our sun is triple, and so what does this mean? The three aspects of the sun are, one, the outer sun, two, the heart of the sun, and three, the central spiritual sun. Or we can call them fire by friction, which is the sun, solar fire, which is the fire of love, and electrical fire, which is the fire of spirit. So love, excuse me, sorry. So love energy is coming from the heart of the sun, and Christ is the embodiment, is the chalice of that love. Then we have the seventh ray energy, which is also coming from the Great Bear. Will energy, seventh energy, seventh ray energy. This is very interesting because the seventh ray is closely related to the first ray. Now, I know these are words, but they're concepts, they're ideas. There's principle in it, and we will absorb it and eventually understand it. The seventh ray gives the body what the boss, the first ray, wants. The first ray is the spirit aspect. The seventh ray is the matter aspect. The first ray is the dynamic aspect. The seventh ray is the expressive aspect. Because of the seventh ray, we are seeing the great divine vision. A great divine idea is in the process of materialization or demonstration. It's just like the black hole in the Milky Way. It's taken years for a collaborative process of various huge telescopes and intellectual scientists, astronomers, to be able to recognize and put this all together. The divine idea finally came into materialization. I mean, it's not like we're a day old as a, you know, universe. Look how long it's taken. If you want to learn more about the rays, we suggest studying the sacred doctrine. Excuse me, guys. I think it's the air fan. Anyway, something I recently heard, and it was through a video I'm watching by an interview that took place with Daniel Enten, and he talked about the word secret. He said, in Russian, secret doctrine, right, Blavatsky, Russian, secret means sacred. So they translated sacred into the word secret to keep the sacred treasures of the teaching secret. So if you want to learn more about the rays, read this sacred doctrine. And number six is the energy of Aquarius. The energy of Aquarius is a great life pouring into our planet. The purpose of Aquarius is unity, oneness, and synthesis. Great synthesis. We are seeing this since Aquarius started. For 195 years, approximately, we have been in it. Now, this is, you know, these years and dates are subject to one's opinion. Like, one opinion we are told... I'm so sorry. I don't think I do have some water. No, we'll all melt. It's okay. One prophecy, oh, that helped, was 2117 will be when we have moved away from the cusp period and we will be solid, finally functioning, you know, in the pure energy of Aquarius. So not everybody is in sync with this. Like in this case, this person that I trust implicitly says we have been on the cusp of Aquarius for 195 years. So this does mean we're feeling it, we're experiencing, we're recognizing it historically, things taking place. We are seeing that everything is going into synthesis in every form of life, politics, education, philosophy, art, science, religion, finance. There is a different kind or form of synthesis in these departments, but it is synthesis. It's so beautiful. So for example, our medical system is a kind of synthesis. In present hospitals, if a person is sick, do you know how many specialists there are that are taking care of that patient? The patient has six or seven medical specialists, they call them now a team. One is for anesthesia, another checks the blood, another one this, another one that, and so on. There may be psychologists or psychiatrists or a priest, rabbi or minister to meet the need completely for that person. The priest comes and says, God will take care of you, don't worry. And he gets healed. Or a psychologist comes and finds a little screw that is loose. And, now the patient is good. This is the process of synthesizing now. First, it was only the doctor, you know, the country doctor, the horse and wagon, come to the old house, you know, and the, anyway, we don't have time for this. So first it was only the doctor, or only the priest, or only the psychologist. Now they know that they are parts of a great whole. So this knowledge means what? It means synthesis. Seven, finally we have the seventh energy, which we call the energy of the Great White Lodge. This synthesis, which is the seventh one, synthesizes all the other six energies. We now have the Star of David, and at the center of the seventh one is the hierarchy. They call it David's Star, but actually it is not from David. It is from Atlantean sources. but it is very lucky that they saved the symbolism. The hierarchical energy is the energy of all these six energies. What are the members of the White Lodge doing at this period? Because we are talking about great cycles, in this period, in these three full moons, they are in great activity to touch, to absorb, to assimilate, and to project. Projections start after the full moon of Waisak. They are projecting in specific ways. After Waisak, they project to disciples and initiates, then to humanity as a whole after the third, the Gemini, full moon. The members of the hierarchy prepare themselves for this great adventure for 6 months. It starts when the sun moves north on December 22nd. They retreat and they prepare themselves for these three great full moons. So actually for 6 months they are in great tension. Now our Waisak experience will be a moment or a day for serious concentration and consideration of these energies. We will partake according to what we are in a small or a big quantity of these energies. In what dosages, where, when, and how, because the success or failure is nothing else but the wise use or unwise use of these energies. It is all energy, and the disciple is like a chemist or a pharmacist. If the prescription comes to the pharmacist and it says 1 milligram, but the pharmacist puts in 2 milligrams, he kills the patient or damages the patient and does not get any result. So the important thing for disciples is to use his spatial energies in the right dosage, in the right proportion, at the right time, to the right person, and for the right need. For example, if your nose is aching, you would not put the medicine on your toes. So we can say that an initiate is a person who knows how to use the energy. As the person learns the secret to the use of energies, he or she advances and becomes a higher degree initiate. If you must give 5% love, then that's enough. Don't give 7. If 10% is needed, then that is enough. If that is what the person can use, the rest, don't give it. The rest of the energies, don't give it. Let the person stand where they are. He or she is not ready. So if an initiate knows how to use energy, that means that the initiate knows the real nature of any being that he or she meets. The initiate is a person who reads the heart. As they said about Christ, they said he knew what was passing through the hearts of men. Now, that is a symbolic saying. It means that he had X-ray eyes. He knows what is going on. When a chemist makes wrong combinations and damages people, or when an initiate or an aspirant or a disciple damages people, then the chemist did not use his or her energy properly, in proper quantity, quality, in the proper place for the proper need, time, and cycle. A teaching may be very good, but that teaching should not be taught now or yet to that person. that beautiful teaching. Wow, that beautiful teaching that I learned 10 days ago. Now I should tell everybody. So here's a story to explain. A lady came and she said she is going to be crazy if she listens again to a lecture that somebody gave to her. The teacher thought, well, I know what that speaker said because I was also there. The lecture was good, but she is not the person that you can say these things to. Now, if you were going to give a very beautiful lecture on esoteric philosophy to people who are completely reverse-oriented to the teaching, you will kill them instead of helping. But then you say, but I gave such a nice lecture. What's the matter with them? Yes, but to whom did you give it? Where did you give it? How much did you give? Did you know the nature of the people before you gave the lecture? No, then you failed and you didn't help. You damaged them. Do you see the delicacy? Today, it used to be they just walked out. Now they can turn off their computer. Do you see the delicacy? Today, discernment is perhaps even more needed because of the outreaching technology of Zoom and GoToWebinar and other platforms. Platforms that accept registration of people without any filtering. Such teachers need to increase their sensitivity and intuition and exercise caution in all that they share. So an initiate or a teacher is one who feels, sees, and understands fear. If you're speaking to such people with such fear, just give one smile and nothing else. That is what you should give because everything else is from your vanity. You are only showing off. So let me close with this, and then we're going to have our beautiful meditation. Yes, we're going to run over, but this is an exception. Today is Waysak. We can run over. We'll probably run over about 15 minutes. Master Moria says many times that the call comes, but you do not sustain it. The call comes, and inspiration comes, and you say, ah. But then you say, oh, that's nice, but I have to go to dinner with my friends. When I was small, St. Paul said, I used to go wherever I liked to go. But when I became elder, which means an initiate, they lead me. And they want me to go wherever they want me to go. Now, who are they? It's a capital T. They are the members of the ashram, the hierarchy, Shambhala. The order comes to you. You have seen many things to do. But you must leave them. That order is in your inner seed. It is planted there. It is growing toward that. See now, for example, an acorn is predestined to be an oak tree. They know that. It takes time. But you are going to be the oak tree. And the oak tree also can serve lots of purposes. It can become a table, a chair, this or that shade. So the most important thing to notice is that as far as you advance, you lose your little self-will to become your higher self, your real self, which is one with the whole.